Welcome to We Shoot, We Score. I'm your host, Blakely, and this is your favorite soccer podcast. So today we're going to be talking about Pele, and I'm sure most of you have heard of him before or know a lot about him, but if you haven't heard of him before, totally fine. You'll learn something new, and even if you have, you'll probably learn something new. But before we can get into that, we have our three soccer world records of the day. Our first one is most career goals, and it's by who we're going to be talking about today. Pele scored 1,279 goals in just 21 years from 1956 and 1977 in between both those. That's just 21 years, which is a lot of years, but think of how many goals that is. That is more than anyone else, which is why this is a record most career goals ever with 1,279. He's amazing. And super, like, not cocky at all. He is very humble, which is very admirable. Well, he was very humble. Longest marathon playing soccer. This is really random, but I thought I might just add this. Longest marathon playing soccer. This was completed by SF Winterbach, a German soccer team, and it took 168 hours. Can you imagine, like, even 160 minutes? Is a lot of minutes. Like, this is so much overtime, even 168 minutes. But they played for that many hours. They were probably pretty tired. That's a pretty good workout, I would say. Most red cards given in one game is our third and final soccer record of the day. So in 2011 in Argentina, a game between Claypool and Victoriano Arenas, the ref gave out 36 red cards, meaning he had to eject 36 players from play in one game. So I'll explain a red card later, more, because it's one of our soccer words of the day, but just a red card, you aren't allowed to play anymore, and you don't have to leave necessarily, but you have to sit the bench and you're not allowed to come off. 36 players in one game, okay, it's pretty rare to have more than two a game. Some games, most games, don't even have, like, they have, like, one, but most games don't have any. 36. Pretty crazy. Okay, and that's all we have for that. Now what you've all been waiting for, here's all about Pele. So his real name is Edson Arantes do Nascimento, or as most know him by Pele, was one of the greatest soccer players this world has ever seen. He's gone down in history for his talent and skill on the field and off. He grew up in Baru, which was a town in Brazil. Growing up, Pele did not live in some fancy town or a place with high-end soccer clubs. He grew up in poverty in a town where the kids, including him, would use a ball made of socks, or sometimes even mangoes to play soccer in the streets, or grapefruits. They'd also stuff, like, newspapers into, like, a ball of socks or something. But soccer balls were too expensive, so most people couldn't afford one, so they just played with that. And Pele actually got a real soccer ball for a gift when he was, like, 5 years old. And to most people, they'd be like, oh, that's a nice gift, yay, a soccer ball. But to him, this is like a super expensive gift. Like, it's a big deal, you know? Lots of people nowadays, when they play soccer, they have multiple. Back then, like, no one could afford a soccer ball. So his parents worked really hard to get him a soccer ball because he loved it. And he was taught to play by his father, who played soccer for some semi-professional teams and had some real talent, too. He played as a center forward and was known for his skillful headers. Pele's father could have gone far, but sadly his career ended on a bad knee injury, which happens a lot, ACL injuries. This isn't necessarily an ACL injury, but just knee injuries, because you make quick movements and then your knee can just go out of place on its own. So it's pretty common, but it ended his career, which is really sad. But he still left his mark on the soccer world in many ways, as well as helping to develop his son and his soccer skills, who would go on to be one of the very best. So his dad does not get enough thanks for this. Without him, Pele probably wouldn't know how to play soccer, and even if he did, he wouldn't know how to do it as well as he does. So we're all super lucky that he had his dad to mentor him and teach him how to play. Even though his dad couldn't keep playing, he definitely passed on his talent. But Pele allowed his legacy to live on by following through on a promise he'd made to his dad many years before his soccer career really took off. So when Pele saw his dad crying after the Brazilian loss in the World Cup in 1950, he was like, he felt really bad because his dad, it obviously meant a lot to him, and he was like really young, so he was like, why is he crying? It was in the 1950, in the World Cup in 1950, in the final against Uruguay. He made his dad a promise that one day he would win it for him, and true to his word, he did. And His dad was probably like, oh, that's sweet. But like back then, I mean, when you're that little and you're like, you change your where you want to be all the time. So he's like, oh, that's sweet. But I'm sure he didn't think at that time that he would actually do it. And true to his word, he did. And not only did he win one, he won three in his career, one in 1958, one in 1962, and one in 1970. Along with that, in his time, he was named the youngest player to win a World Cup at the age of 17. So he started really young and played different than most people. It's where you like juggle more, and he like his coaches did not want him to do it, but that's how he was taught. And he had really good footwork, and like he was great at juggling and bicycle kicks. But back then, that was not how they wanted you to play. So he would always get in trouble for that. But I mean, that's how he knew how to play. That's how he was a good player. And he didn't play as well when he played like everyone else, and he didn't need to because he had his own way of playing, and it worked just as well, obviously better than most people. So they finally let him, but it took some fighting for that because he had learned the sport the way that his dad had taught him, and he's 17 years old and he's been learning since he's really little. Like, that's like trying to relearn how to write if you've wrote with your right hand your whole life and then you have to suddenly write with your left hand. I mean, even that is small in comparison to having to switch how you play soccer. So before we get into more of his achievements when he was older, here's a bit more of his background and life as a kid. He was born on October 23rd, 1940. His parents are Don Dino and Celeste Arantes, and he had two younger siblings, a brother Roca and a sister Maria. Growing up, his friend nicknamed him Pele because he wanted to name him after his favorite soccer player named Bile. Ever since then, it stuck, and now rarely anyone calls him by his real name, Edson, which I think Pele fits in. He looks like a Pele. Like, Edson's a good name too, like for him. I could see that too, but I think Pele is his name. It's his soccer name and what everyone knows him by. Now, back to some more recent, but not that recent things. In his career, he played in 1,363 games and scored 1,281 goals, meaning that he scored in almost every single game he played, making him a crucial player for all the teams he played for. Yeah, he was really important, and even though he played different than lots of people, people still wanted him because they're like, even though he plays like not how we want him to, even though it shouldn't matter if he, I mean, it's not like it was like a bad way of playing. He had great footwork, it was just different because he grew up in a different place, and that's just how he was taught. But obviously, it didn't affect how he played because almost scoring in every single game is crazy. 1,281 goals is almost impossible. Like, I'm obviously he made it possible, but for most people, that would not be possible. He was just like that, I guess. With his father as a great soccer mentor, he had a great soccer role model leading him in soccer. Not even to mention his other soccer role model, mentor, Valdemar de Brito, who had won a World Cup before guiding him along the way too, and which obviously paid off because he played for his first pro league at the age of 16, which is super young. But I mean, if anyone's gonna do it, it's Pele, so I'm not surprised at all. Pele had a strong work ethic and resiliency because he almost ended up quitting soccer forever after the death of his really good friend Neon, who played soccer with him. But he ended up coming back, and we were very lucky that he decided to come back through that hardship. Also, he made it through not having much support from his mother, which can be hard. In the beginning, when he said he wanted to play soccer, she was a little like, no, not because she was a mean person, but because she loved him and didn't want him to get hurt like his dad had playing soccer. Because it was a pretty big deal. Like, his dad got like taken off in stretcher. It was a big deal. So she was worried about him, but she ended up supporting him even though she was worried. Pele played for several different teams, Santos being one of them, and he did really well, especially on that team, winning lots of trophies and games. But I mean, he's won lots of trophies and games and awards in his time, but he's just so humble about it. That's really admirable. Some major accomplishments that Pele has achieved are he scored 12 goals in 14 World Cup games. First of all, 12 goals is amazing in 14 games. Second of all, it's the World Cup. You're going against the best of the best, but I guess he is the best of the best. So, I mean, you have to be if you're playing in the World Cup, but it's just kind of crazy. Not kind of crazy, totally crazy. In 1999, he was named Athlete of the Year. He's received seven Ballon d'Or, and he got another nickname, which he is not as commonly called, but he was named the King after the 1958 World Cup because he was just like super helpful to his team, as usual, because he is like so amazing at scoring goals and stuff. But you know, he just was like especially in this, and he was named the King. But obviously, that nickname did not stick as well as Pele did, even though the King seems more of like I don't know, just like a nickname for a soccer player. But Pele fits, and I think it's good. And another great accomplishment he has, he was just a good person, and he was known for being a major advocate for children's health, education, and helping areas struggling with poverty, because you could kind of relate, because he lived in an area when he was a kid that had some problems with poverty. But he was a good person. Sadly, as of December 29th, at 3:27 p.m., aged 83, Pele died of cancer. He'll be remembered as one of the best players in soccer forever, and everyone will miss him and his talents and all the things that he did. But he did have a long career and a long life, and I think that what he did in soccer and just everything made it so much more worth it, even if he did end up dying kind of unexpectedly. But he definitely left his mark on the soccer world. And before we can close out, we have our soccer words of the day. These are pretty quick and easy ones. Our first one is a give and go. It's also called a wall pass or a 1-2. It's where you pass to someone and then you run forward and then they pass it right back to you. It is a very important play for like sometimes goals. Like you pass it to someone in the center, they pass it back to you, then you tap it into the goal. So give and goes can be really helpful. That's all I have for that. Pretty straightforward. For our second soccer word of the day, we have shootout. A shootout happens when a game is tied, not always though, in like friendlies and stuff. It doesn't usually, but in really important games like the World Cup, if you are tied at the end of a game, then you do a shootout and you take turns. So you have your goalie in and then someone from the other team shoots on them from the penalty, the PK dot, which is inside the 18, right, like close to the goal. And they take a shot, and the goalie has to stay on their line, and then you switch. Their goalie goes, and someone from your team that's good at shooting then shoots, so it's just back and forth, and whoever has the most points at the end wins. You do not want to miss, because that gets your team behind, and you don't want your goalie to miss either, because that also does, but it's very hard to ask, because some people have really good shots. And for our third and final soccer word of the day, we have red card. We talked about in this beginning, and I said I'd explain it more. It's just when you get a either two yellow cards in one game, which are like fouls and pretty big fouls, but they're like minor compared to a red card. But they're not like little things like, oh, we're going to give an indirect. They're pretty good sized fouls, and yellow cards are okay. Sometimes they usually mean you're being aggressive, but sometimes they're for other reasons that aren't very good. Most of the time, though. And if you get two yellows, though, that's a red card. But one red card is usually for some really bad foul or for repeatedly cursing on the field, even being asked to stop, and like a ton of different things. Dangerous play, extremely dangerous play, any of those things could end up in a red card, and red cards are not good. But 36 in one game, as we were talking about, that is a lot, not very common at all. But that is all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed learning about Pele, and I hope that you learned something new in this episode. Be sure to follow and watch for more episodes. I hope you enjoyed, and go back and see some episodes that we've had previous, and be looking for more coming out soon. Thanks, bye!